Good morning, Boker Tov, Afrelechen, Shushan Purim to everybody. We are on Dalet Amud Beis. We left off at the Dilma, which is two lines above the start of the wide lines. Hope everybody had a wonderful Purim, and B'ezus Hashem, we should have a wonderful Shushan Purim. So we had left off yesterday discussing a machlokes as to who our Mishnah was authored by when we said that you're placing the item that you're carrying, the fruit, the whatever it is that you're talking about carrying on a mishnah, from the ani to the hand of the balabai, so vice versa. So we said that must be the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, because he holds kluta kimi shuhun chodamya, because he holds that that space over there is considered something that is significant. So the Gemara says when it passes through that area, that was the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, when you threw from Rosh Hashanah Rabin through Rosh Hashanah Yachid, or vice versa, that it's considered landed in that space. So even though that space is not Dalet by Dalet, so therefore he must be the opinion that says that something less than Dalet by Dalet, i.e. your hand, is considered significant. That was a very, very, very quick chazara of most of Daf Dalet. And now we're going to suggest, however, that it may not be Rabbi Akiva. The Dilma, Rabbi Akiva's opinion is, Hanachahu de lo boya. So when Rabbi Akiva says that when the person throws something from Rishus HaYachid through Rishus HaRabim and lands in the other Rishus HaYachid, Yechayev, he only said Yechayev one time. So that means that when it's going through the Rishus HaRabim, it's considered Hanocha. But who says anything about the Akira from Rabbi Akiva's position? So that would only tell about the Hanocha. So if you were saying that the Akira and the Hanocha, so then you'd be chayv twice. Once when it, quote, landed in the Rishus HaRabim, even though it hasn't landed there, and then it's considered like it's picked up from the Rishus HaRabim, that's the Akira, and then it goes into the other Rishus HaYachid. So it should be two, but he only said it's one. So therefore, this isn't the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. With one quick line, we just slugged up the entire Daf Dalet that we were trying to suggest that this is Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Where it says, Ho Akira Abaya, we still have the question with the Akira, because this should have been two. So we're actually going to find the Tana that says that it's two. And that will be the Tana of our Mishnah. Elam Rav Yosef, Homani Rebihi. This is actually Rebbe's opinion. Rebbe's the author of the Mishnah. Hey Rebbe, which Rebbe are we talking about over here? In other words, which opinion of Rebbe? We know who Rebbe is. It's only one Rav Yehuda Hanasi. Hey Rebbe means, which opinion of Rav Yehuda Hanasi are we referring to over here? Ilema. Oh, Rebbe, it's the following sheet of Rebbe, the Tanya, Zorach v'noch al-gav ziz, kolshu. If you throw something, if a person takes something and he tosses it and it lands on a ziz, this is like a projection, it's like a little ledge that sticks out from a wall or something like that. So, is that considered 4x4? No, that's not considered 4x4. It's not 4x4 tefachim. It's a little ledge. It's a little something. It's like a windowsill. You threw it and it landed on the windowsill. So if you throw something there, nevertheless, Rebbe is mechayiv. He says that that's a good hanacha. So you see over here that this is the opinion of Rebbe, that it can be a hanacha over here. The chachamim potrim. And the chachamim say, no, that's not a nisa deraisa because it's not considered landing in a significant space. So there's no hanacha. Now, let us say, therefore, that the Mishnah is the opinion of Rebbe, that your hand, which is less than 4x4, that's considered a significant amount. So Gemara says, no, that you can't bring me a raya from that opinion of Rebbe, that he's the author of our Mishnah. Why not? Because we could answer that up like something that Abai is going to tell us later on in regards to something else. So too over here, in regards to this, it is also like the opinion of Abai. What is that? The Amar Abai. You have a tree that its main trunk, which is certainly 4x4, big tree, so its trunk is in the Rishus HaYochid, and the branches, v'nofo, are in the Rishus HaRabim. The branches are not 4x4 tvachim. And you toss something and it lands on the branches. V'zorach v'noch anofo. It could be thick, but they're not very, very, very wide. So it lands on the branches and it stays there. You toss a ball and it lands, on the branches. So are you going to be over in that situation or not?
Yeah. Where is he standing when he's
landing? He's standing in the Shus HaRabim and it's landing over there. It's more than Dalet Amos away from him. Or he theoretically could be standing in Shus HaYochid. But here we're talking about he's standing in the Shus HaRabim. Okay? So now, the Rebbe Sovar Aminon Shadei Nofo Bosari Karo. The Rebbe holds that the branches follow the trunk. Rabbanim Savri, Lo Aminon Shadei Nofo Bosari Karo. And in that situation, the opinion of the Chachamim is that the branches aren't considered like following the trunk. But you see, it has nothing to do with the branches themselves being significant. It has to do with the fact, do we consider the branches like the trunk? The trunk is significant, and therefore the branches are significant because they're following the trunk. But if you just had something that was a ziz, if you just had something that was a projection, if you just had something that was less than dalet al dalet, here, the projection follows the wall. The wall is considered significant, so the projection is considered significant. The trunk is considered significant, so the branches are considered significant. But everything else is not considered significant. If something is less than dalet by dalet, it's not considered significant. So you don't have a raya here that Rabbi would say that the hand in our Mishnah is considered significant. So you're right, we're still stuck over here. Eloha Rabbi, it's the following sheet of Rabbi. The Tanya, what is this sheet of Rabbi? Zorak, Merishus HaRabim, Lushus HaRabim, Merishus HaYochav Yemsa. Our exact case is Rabbi Akiva. You're tossing something over here from Merishus HaRabim. It goes through a Merishus HaYochid, and then it goes into another Merishus HaRabim. With Rabbi Akiva, we had the other way around, but it's the same idea. Rabbi Mechayev, V'chachamim Potrim. So Rabbi says Yechayev, and the Chachamim say Yepotrim. Why is that? The Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mechayev Rabbi Shtayim. Ah, Rabbi says Yechayev twice. Because we consider kluta kamo shahun chodamya, and therefore, when you throw it from the shus harabim and it passes through the shus hayachid, it's considered like it stopped over there. So it stops. That's a split second stop in an area that's not dalet by dalet. Either we consider it that it's touching the ground at that point. We view the ground as coming up to it, and it's only that point because it's keep on moving. So it's not the entire ground. It's only on that point, which is less than dalet al dalet. And then Yechayev a second time, because we consider it stopped, so it now goes, that's considered an Akira. So it has a Hanocha, and then it has an Akira. So this is the opinion of Rebbe. Oh, that sounds exactly like our Mishnah, where we said when you pick it up from something that's less than dalet al dalet, the person's hands, or you put it down in something that's less than dalet al dalet, the person's hands. So we see over here, Yechayev twice. Achas mishum otsov, yachas mishum achnosa. Oh, let us say over here, Amma lo boy akira below anocha gabi mokum dalet al dalet. Oh, Rebbe is the author of our Mishnah. The Chacham would disagree. The Chacham would say in our Mishnah, you're part of it, because it's not picked up or put down in a significant place. It has to be dalet al dalet. And Rebbe holds not. Oh, Rebbe is the author of our Mishnah. So Gemara says, no. Ha'itmar Allah, we already answered this question, because Rav Shmuel on this Mishnah over here that we just brought down, on this Brisa, that we just brought down from Rebbe, that we're going to learn later on, Adaf Tzadi Zayin, so Rav Shmuel already qualified that. Ha'itmar Allah, Rav Shmuel, the Amri Tavayi, they both said, Lo Mechayev Rebbe Ela Rishus HaYochid Mekura. He says this is only true when you're throwing it from Rishus HaRabim through Rishus HaYochid into another Rishus HaRabim. When is that Rishus HaYochid considered that it made an Akira and a Hanacha? Only if it was Makora, if there was a roof over it. So you're throwing it from a window, let's say, from this Rishus HaRabim, through a window, through another window, into the other Rishus HaRabim. So you're throwing the ball through the guy's house. So that's when you say, Pluto Kemoshun Chodamya. That's considered significant in that situation. Daminan, Beso Keman Demaya Damya, because we consider a house as if it's totally filled up. So it's like it landed on the ground. Because there's a roof on top, so the house is considered filled up. Avo she'ena makura, but if something doesn't have a roof on top of it, lo, it's not considered significant. Now, where is the ani standing? The ani's outside. There's no roof on him outside. You want to say, oh, v'chite mahachanami b'makura? So, oh, no, there was a roof. There was a projection of some sort. There's an awning. So the ani's standing underneath the awning, and the rich person's on the inside. He's in his house. So they're both underneath the roof. Maybe that's how the Mishnah is talking about, and it's not going to tell us anything over here. So it says it can't be. Ha teinach rishus hayachid makura. A rishus hayachid has a roof on top of it. Rishus harabim makura michayev. But if you're in a rishus harabim and it is a awning over it, there's a roof over it, then you're actually not chayev. That changes the rishus harabim. So while it would make the rishus hayachid able to be klut to kamo shun chadamya, it would change the status of the rishus harabim if it had an awning over it. Amar Rav Shmuel, by Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Hamavir Chayvitz Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim Makura is Potter. It loses its status in some way of being a regular Rishus HaRabim when it has a roof over it. Why? Why should it lose its status? Still an open public area. Lefish Ein Nadoma LeDigle Midbar. Where do we learn that Rishus HaRabim from? What's the paradigm for Rishus HaRabim? It's the Digle Midbar. It's the encampment of Klai Yisrael in the Midbar. That's where some learn out that you need to have 600,000 people going through that area. So this is the Diglei Midbar paradigm. They didn't have a roof over the Diglei Midbar. Well, we did have the Ananim, we did have the Anani Akavot, that's not considered a roof over here. So therefore, the paradigm of a Rishus Arabim cannot have a roof on top of it. So if you're telling me that our Ani is standing under an awning, under some sort of a roof, so then it wouldn't be called Rishus Arabim, it wouldn't be Chayiv in the first place. So again, we are stuck. Who is the author of our Mishnah? It's not Rebbe, it's not Rabbi Akiva, it's not the Chachamim, so who's the author of our Mishnah? This is the opinion of the Acherim. Acherim is often Rav Meir. The Acherim say, the Tanya Acherim Omrim, Oma Bimkomo V'Kibel. If you were throwing a ball at somebody, okay? I'm throwing a ball. I throw it to Reuven. Reuven catches the ball in the Rishus HaRabim. He doesn't move an inch, okay? Who's Chayev? I threw the ball in the Rishus HaRabim more than Dalet Amos. He caught it. Who's Chayev over here? So the Acherim say, if Reuven is standing in place and I throw him the ball, the kibel, Chayev. I'm Chayev. Reuven's not Chayev, he didn't do anything. I'm Chayev, because I did the Akira, I picked it up, I threw it to him, and it landed. Now, he didn't move, so that's where I wanted it to land. He is considered my landing spot, because he didn't move. I'm a horrible pitcher, which is not true. If he goes and throws... has to run away, and he makes a diving catch in that direction, so that's not where I wanted it to land. I wanted it to land on him. Now, the other guy does the Hanocha. Then Reuven did the Hanocha, the Kibel, Potter. So, here you see that if he had caught it standing still, if I was a good pitcher, and I threw it right to him, and it went right where it's supposed to go, the catcher puts his mitt up there, and the pitcher throws it in, hits the mitt right, directly. I don't think it has to be that exact. The catcher moves his mitt a little bit, fine, but he's not moving his body. Throws a wild pitch and he has to go, 10 feet away. So in that situation, if he hasn't moved his body and he catches the ball, that's my hanacha, even though it's less than dalet al dalet. Oh, Acherim, or the opinion of our Mishnah, that less than dalet al dalet, because that's why I wanted it to land. When the balabayis puts the fruit into the yoni's hand, that's where he wants it to land. So that's called a significant hanacha. Oh, Acherim, or the author of Mishnah. And Omar Bikomo, Mekiva Chayiv. The question is, but you don't have dollar by dollar, he caught it in his hand. Oh, what do you see? According to the Acherim. You don't need the dollar of dollar. Oh, the Acherim are the author of our Mishnah. Where it says, not so fast. Again, in that situation, you don't have a raya. Maybe over there, the Hanacha doesn't require it, but the Akira still requires a real space of Dalet al Dalet. I have to pick it up from the ground. If I didn't pick the ball up from the ground, that wouldn't count. And even the Hanacha Nami, maybe the Hanacha here is also not a Raya. Okay, you want to tell me the Acherim of the Hanacha part, but not the Akira part? They might not even be the Hanacha part. Duma de Poshit Kanfe Bekibla. How did he catch the ball? I give you the example, he caught it in his hand. Maybe he took out his cloak and he caught it in the cloak. The cloak is more than 4x4. So he caught it in his lap. If he caught it in his lap, that's a significant area. Who said he caught it in his hand? Dikonami Hanocha. And therefore, there is a real Hanocha over here. So the Acherim, not only can they not teach us Akira, they might not even be able to teach us Hanocha. So we're still stuck. So how do we answer our Mishnah? Who says putting it in your hand is significant? So I'm Rabbi Abba, Masnison. You know what our Mishnah is talking about? Our Mishnah is Kagon. Now, the Bach changes the words around. He says, Sha'akrinon mitraskal, v'niach agabi traskal. It's not putting into the guy's hands. I want to say, it said hands. Right now, forget that. In a second, we'll get back to that. He says he put it in a basket. A traskal is a basket. So he took it from his house. That's a real Akira. He picked up the apple from the table. He passed it through the doorway and he placed it into the basket of the Oni. Ah, the basket of the Oni is 4x4. That's why it's considered a significant transaction. Where it says, the Ikonami Hanocha, because here there was the Akira from the table, from the ground, wherever he picked up the apple. He did the Akira. He passed it through the doorway into the Rishus HaRabim where the Ani was, but he didn't put it in the Ani's hand. He put it in the Ani's basket. The basket's 4x4. That's what our Mishnah's talking about. And vice versa. When the Ani put it into the house, he put it into the basket of the rich person. Aikor says, that's not what it said. It said hand, right? Read our Mishnah. It said hand. Pasha Yado. Right? So, Tani Traskal should be Yado. No, you have missing words. It means the basket in his hand. So, Gemara says, okay, great. Ha Tainach Traskal Rishus HaYochid. El Traskal Rishus HaRabim Rishus HaYochid. Oh, now if you tell me he has a basket there, so then he's not transferring it into Rishus HaRabim. If the basket is 4x4, it's a separate entity. And now, you just changed it around the facts. The rich guy took the apple from his house, passed it through the doorway, and put it into another Rishus HaYochid. Because the basket has the status of Rishus HaYochid. All right, I mean, the Rabbani, you're not allowed to do that. Okay, we're only talking about Mishnah about the Raisas. So you still have a problem. So the Gemara says, if you hold like this, that you're chayiv in our Mishnah, it must be lema the lok Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. You obviously can't hold like the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. What is that? The Tanya. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda omer, nietz konev Rishus HaRabim. If you have a pole in Rishus HaRabim, okay? Uberosha Trasko, you have a basket on top. This is a poor man's basketball, right? You, instead of having it in a hoop, you just throw it on top of a post. You have a basket there, and you have to throw the ball into the basket. Okay? Uberosha Trasko. Zorach v'noch agab of chayev. You threw it from Rishus HaRabim into this Rishus HaYachid. So it says, according to Rav Yosef Yehuda, you're chayev. Now, if our Mishnah is Rav Yosef Yehuda, that means you'd be putting it into a basket, and it would be Rishus HaYachid, and you wouldn't be chayev. Our Mishnah said, you're chayev. Obviously, our Mishnah doesn't hold like this Rav Yosef Yehuda. Because Ikar Rav Yosef Yehuda, Pasha Balabais is Yadu L'chutz, V'nosan L'soch Yadu Shalani, Amai chayev, Mishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid Komeifik. Because according to Rav Yosef Yehuda, this wouldn't be Rishus HaRabim if you put it into the basket. So again, we're stuck. Now, we could just say, okay, so the Mishnah is not like Rav Yosef Yehuda. We don't want to do that. We don't want to exclude any Tanoim from our Mishnah if possible. So when it says, no, Afilu Tamer Rav Yosef Yehuda. No, it could even be Rav Yosef Yehuda. Why? Because in the case over here, Hasam Lamala Miyud, he's throwing the basket. What's the big deal to put a ball in a basket that's, you know, 8 Tvachim high, 6 Tvachim high? That's nothing. It must be that the basket is at least 10 tefachim wide. 10 tefachim is not that much. 10 tefachim is the table. So you have little kids that are trying to throw in a basket on the table. Or it's 20 tefachim, 30 tefachim. Doesn't mean it has to be more than 10 tefachim. So whatever it is you're throwing into the basket, that's not a Rishus HaRabim. That's why it's a Rishus HaYachid according to Rav Yosef Yehuda. It's not a Mokum Ptur. It's a Rishus HaYachid. So if it's Lamala Meyud, but Hachal Lamata Meyud. So here, it's less than Yod. So if it's less than Yod, so even Rabbi Yosef Yehuda would say, it's not considered a Rishus HaYochid. If it's a Rishus HaRabim and it's less than Yod, so then he says the basket's not considered a Rishus HaRabim. So we could work out our Mishnah talking about this type of a case. However, it's bothering Rabbi Yabo. Kashalil Rabbi Yabo. Meek Tani Trasko Biyodo. You can't just go change it around. That's not the simple understanding of the Mishnah. Those aren't the words of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says he put it in his hand. Doesn't say he put it in the basket in his hand. But Yadok Tani, come on, you can't just switch it around. Say, hello, Rabbi Yavo, you know I have to explain on the issue, because if you say like Rabbi Yavo, we remove the basket option, which we said, even Rabbi Yosef Yehuda would say that could be a carrying, that's considered a significant place, and it's not a Rishus HaYochid if it's less than 10 Tvachim. So, nevertheless, he says, Omer Rabbi Yavo, Kigon Sheshilshal Yadu Lamata Megimu V'Kibla. Oh, his hand is less than 3 tvachim above the ground. And we all know that 3 tvachim above the ground, within 3 tvachim above the ground, is considered like the ground. Where do we all know that from? Because why does a person in a shiva house, Rahman al-Islam, sit on the low chairs? Should sit on the floor. Not supposed to sit on a chair, he's supposed to sit on the floor. So how can we have the low chairs? Oh, the low chairs are within 3 tvachim of the ground. Anything within 3 tvachim of the ground is considered the ground. And therefore, I'm sorry? As if it's on the ground. Oh, if his hand's within 3 tefachim of the ground, it's no longer just his hand. It's the ground. The ground is considered 4x4 tefachim, of course. And therefore, his hand is low to the ground. That's the case of our Mishnah. Where it says, for omek tani. The guy says the guy's standing in the Rishus HaRabim. So, what's he doing? He's standing and he's putting his hand all the way down to the ground. If I'm standing, I can't reach within 3 tefachim of the ground. My hand, I'd have to bend over. It says he's standing. So my hand doesn't reach down 3 tefachim above the ground if I'm standing up. So it says, yeah, bishocha. Yeah, he's bent over. So you know what the case of our Mishnah is? The Ani is standing bent over with his hand within 3 tefachim of the ground. And that's how the Mishnah is talking about. A really far-fetched case. Where it says, okay, you don't like that answer. You know what? The Ani's standing in a ditch. And his hand is, therefore, at waist length, at mid-height, but he's in a ditch. So his hand is not in the ditch. His hand is within 3 tefachim above the ground. Another really far-fetched answer. Yeah, I don't like that one. Bibaisema. This one you like the best. Bananas. We're talking about a dwarf. We're talking about a midget. We're talking about a very, very short person. His hand reaches within 3 tefachim of the ground. Nebuch, the guy's only 2 feet tall. Right? There was that the Guinness Book of Records, the smallest guy. So he stood a foot tall or something like that, a very short amount, whatever it was. So his hand's within 3 tefachim of the ground. So that's the case that our Mishnah's talking about. One of these three highly, highly, highly unlikely scenarios. Where it says, really? Amar Rava, are you telling me the Mishnah went out of its way to tell us these ridiculous cases? Ich bal tano li ashmeinon kol hani? The Tana went to the trouble to tell us this case with the guy in the pit, a very, very short stature person, or the guy that's bent over? Come on, give me a break. So Rava says, you're right, that's not what the Mishnah's talking about. El Amar Rava, here's the real answer. We finally get to the real answer, a day and a half later. Yado shalodim chashuvalo kidalid al dalid. You're right, you have to put it into a significant place. A significant place is normally defined by being dalid al dalid, something less than dalid al dalid tefachim. So it's not considered significant. But here, your hand is always considered significant. That's why when you place it in the Ani's hand, or you place it in the Balabas's hand, on the inside or the outside, that's considered significant. Not because it's dalid al dalid, because dalid al dalid implies it has to be a significant area. And your hand, by definition, is always a significant area, even though it's not dalid al dalid. That's the answer. And this is, in fact, correct. He befeirish said that a person's hand is like dalid al dalid. Dalid al dalid is not a magical halacha. It must be. That's the definition of significant area. Something that's less than dalid al dalid is not even considered a reshus. It's not even considered anything. Dalid al dalid. Oh, now we're talking. Oh, your hand is always like dalid al dalid, and that your hand is always significant. That's the teretz. Amar Rav Avin, Amar Eloy, Amar Rav Yochanan, Zorach Chayfetz, V'noch B'soch Yadu Shechaveru Chayim. Now, I don't know why there isn't a goofa over here, because we had this before when we brought this down, but in any event, he says, if you go over here and you throw something, you toss something to somebody else, so then it's considered, if the guy is standing still, I apologize what I just said about why don't we have a goof over here. This is a new statement. If I throw something to somebody, it lands in his hand, I'm chayv. I did the akira when I picked it up, I threw it to him, it landed in his hand. That's the isser of the hanacha. Now I'm chayv midaraisa. So when it says, what's Rav Yochanan, who's in Amora, Maya Kumashlon? You're telling me over here that he's telling me that your hand is considered significant? Ba'amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan was the one that just told this to us. Chodah Zimna. Why is he telling it to us again? Why did he tell us that dalad al dalad is considered significant? And if you throw it into somebody's hand, that's considered significant. Why is he repeating it? Ma'o d'teima, the chiddush over here is, hani mili hecho di achshava hu liyode. When I'm throwing it at somebody over here, so I'm machshav that over there. Aval hecha de lo achshava, hu ledidei, aim alo. But unless I specifically made it, that I'm machshav it, I might not realize that. So therefore, lo, kamash v'lon, so he's telling us that by definition, even if I didn't say, that's where I want to throw it, so even though I didn't state and throw it to him, because by throwing it to him, I'm showing, but just by putting it there, anytime the hand is considered significant, that's the general rule. It has nothing to do with the fact that I threw it to him specifically. Now here, Amar Avin, Amar Eloy, Amar Yochanan, Amar Bimkama V'Kibel Chayev. Now here we're repeating it again. I don't know why it doesn't say, this is where I meant, why it doesn't say over here, Gufo, Amar Mar, or something like that. In any event, Amar Eloy, Amar Yochanan, Amar Bimkama V'Kibel Chayev. Here's the rest of the statement. Maybe that's why it doesn't say Omar Mar. In any event, he says, when you're throwing the ball to somebody, it's chayiv if he catches it right where he is. But if you have to move and jump to go and get it, the kibel potter, then it would be potter because I did the akira, but he did the hanocha. And therefore, potter means over here, potter v'losser. It's also with the rabbanon, but it's not also on a deraisa level. Tanya Yochi, here the Braisa says the same thing. We always find we want to support an Amora when we have a Braisa. The Amora didn't know the Braisa, or else he would have quoted it. So the Amorim I mentioned many times, they didn't know all the Braisas. So we always say Tanya Nami Hochi. So Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a Braisa that supports what the Amora, Rav Yochanan, just said. The Chayim said this over here. Amar b'mkom over kibel chayim. If I throw it to the guy, he doesn't have to move. I'm chayim because that hanocha that he caught the ball, that is in fact my hanocha. However, akar b'mkomo, if he had to move the kibel and he catches it on the move, so then he does the hanocha, and neither of us is going to be chayim with the raisa. It'll just be potter of a loss. Yeah. No. His hand is considered significant, but still, if he's in the Rishus HaRabim, his hand follows him. It's significant, but it's not considered a separate Rishus. It's the Rishus of his body. Even though he didn't catch it in his lap, he didn't catch it in a 4x4 area, his hand follows the body in this situation, and his body is over here, so that's considered significant.
Just as a point of clarification, the thrower must throw it at least Dalet Amos.
Yes.
Less than that, that would not be...
Right, if it doesn't go Dalet Amos, so then that's nothing. It's not considered a significant act. Yes, 100%. By Rav Yochanan, Zorach Eifetz, V'nekar hu mimekomo, V'choza v'kiblo mahu. Imagine this, you're playing ball with yourself. So you toss the ball, and you catch it. Right? You throw yourself a pass, and you catch it. So how do we view that? If I throw it to Yankel, and Yankel catches it, that's my hanocha. If he doesn't move, that's my hanocha. That's why I wanted it to land. But here, I'm throwing the ball, and I catch it myself, more than Dalet Amos away. So am I chayiv in that situation? What's the mao? What are we talking about? The question is mao. So when it says, Michael Boiler, what's the question? Why would it make any difference whether I throw it to Yankel, and Yankel catches it without moving, or I throw it to myself, and I catch it without, I go to the spot where I threw it to, and I catch it. Why should that be different? Here, I definitely did the Akira. I definitely did the Hanocha. Why would you think I shouldn't be chayiv? Someone says, Amar Rav Adam Rava, Shnei kochos biyodom echad koma boile. There were two actions over here. So if it's two separate people, I'd be potter. If Yankel has to move to catch my ball when I throw it to him, I think I said Reuven before. If Reuven has to run to catch my ball, so then we said I'm potter. So here, I'm running to catch my ball. It's Shnei kochos, but biyodom echad. Do we view that as two separate actions? And I'm technically potter, or it's considered like, no, I'm the same guy, so therefore I'm chayiv. That's the question. Shnei kochos biyodom echad. Ki adam echad dami. Do we say, how's that any different than if it's Yankel who just caught it standing still? The chayiv. Oh, domo, ki shnei biyodom dami, you're potter. If Yankel has to run and catch it, then I'm technically potter. So I'm just like Yankel. I had to run and catch it, so I'm like a separate person in that situation, even though it's the same guy. That was the question that he asked. We actually don't leave it with the teretz over here. We leave it as an ibay the low sheet delay. We don't answer the question over here. Teku, I think this is one of the first times we had teku. Tishbi yitaretz kushos v'yaboyos. So some say that Tishbi is Eliyahu Navi. Teku, we'll wait till Eliyahu comes. Mashiach will come. Now Eliyahu's back as a human being. He's no longer a malach, and Eliyahu can tell us what the teretzim are. So I always ask the question: why doesn't it say Meku? Moshe Rabbeinu. Yitaritz kushus yabayis. When Moshe Rabbeinu comes back, b'chias ha-meisim. So then we're not going to go to Eliyahu, as great as Eliyahu was. We'll go to Moshe Rabbeinu. So why does it say meku? So the answer is a beautiful answer. That you have to be alive at the time. You have to know and understand the generation that you're in. Eliyahu lives in all generations. So he knows the shailas. If you'd ask Moshe Rabbeinu, no, is a K good? He's going to look at you like you're crazy. What are you talking about, a K? What's a K? I would start telling him Hashkocha symbols. Oh, what? Hashkocha symbols? You know, a person has nemonus. You know, he's not going to know what you're talking about. Eliyahu, who's living in every generation, will understand the questions of the generations. You have to go and ask a Rabbi Shaila who understands the circumstances. You can't ask abstract Shailas and expect to get answers always. So that's why it always says, Teku, Tishbi, Yataritz. Eliyahu is around in every generation. He knows the circumstances. A Rabbi has to know the circumstances before he can answer a Shaila.
I thought Moshe Rabbeinu knew the future. Right?
He does. He knows the future, but he's not living in the generations. Okay, it's a nice svart. It's not a. It's meant to teach us an idea. It's not meant to. When Moshe Rabbeinu comes back, we'll be able to ask him Shailas. Yes, Hashem. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu can answer all the coronavirus shalas that we have. Okay. Om Rav Avin, Om Rav Yochanan. Hichnis yado litzol chotze chaveiro v'kibel megisham v'hotzi. Chayiv. I stick my hand into my neighbor's yard. Okay? Now, we're talking here. I'm in Rishus HaRabim. I stick my hand into his Rishus HaYochid. And I gather the water. The rain falls on my hand. And then I put my hand back into Rishus HaRabim. So this is exactly the same case as the Balabayis put the item in my hand, and then I picked up my hand and brought it back to Rishus HaRabim. So Yechai, the rain and the Rishus HaRabim, the rain and the apple that we talked about in our Mishnah are the same exact case. That's what Rav Yochanan wants to tell us. Maskel Rosei, Rosei says, really? Mali Yitino, because Maskel Rosei, Mali Yitino Chavero, Mali Yitino Shemayim. Says, I'm sorry, wait a second. I made a mistake over here. So when the Iulo Avid Akira. So I made a mistake. I compared it to the wrong part of the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, when the Baal HaBayis put it in my hand, so then the Baal HaBayis is considered doing the Ti'ina. He did the Akira. And when I put my hand out, so then I'm not considered over here that I did the full effort. I have to take it from the Baal HaBayis. But here, he put it in my hand, so he did the Akira, I do the transfer and the Hanukkah with Potter. So how come, Rav Yochanan is saying here, with the rain, Yechayev, what difference does it make if HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it in your hand, or the Baal HaBayis put it in your hand? How come over here you say Yechayev, in the Baal HaBayis case you're Potter? That was the question. I'm sorry, I messed it up. So it says, Ihulo Ovid Akira. In this situation, he didn't do the Akira. Hashem, so to say, with the rain, did the Akira. In the Mishnah, if the Baal HaBayis put it in my hand, the Baal HaBayis did the Akira, and I'm Potter. So how come over here I'm Chayiv? So Moshe says, Lo Temo Kibo, you're right. Doesn't mean I just stuck my hand out and I Kadosh Baruch Hu put the rain in my hand. No. Elo, Kolat. I grabbed the rain. I didn't just put my hand like this, flat, and collect the rain. I grabbed the rain. In other words, I smacked the rain towards me. And therefore, I transfer the rain from the Rishus HaYochid, or rather, from the Rishus HaRabim into my house in the Rishus HaYochid, or whatever the situation was. Okay? Moshe says, so that's certainly not considered significant. That's not my hand. That's, you know, smashing it. It's not on the ground. So that's not considered a dalad adalad. The rain that drops that I'm smacking towards me. So that's not considered a real akira from a significant place. So that shouldn't be chayiv. Someone says, you're right. Kigon shekolat mi'al gabi akosel. It was on the top of a wall, and that's how I did it. Moshe says, "Agabi kosel nami v'holo nach," because it hasn't landed over there. Kidama rava because v'holo nach. It's not considered landed over there. If it's on a wall, we're talking right now on the vertical part of the wall. So I not on the top of the wall. It's on the vertical part of the wall, and I'm smoothing it like this. So that's not landed. The water is still dripping down. So that's also not considered significant. So Gemara says no. Kidama Rava. We're talking over here what Rava said. Others have the Girsa Rava. Rashi over here has the Girsa Rava. In any event, you know what it's talking about? Bekoso Meshupa. It's a slanted wall, so it's not a vertical wall. So it's not considered moving still. It's on a slanted wall. It's considered at rest. Hachanami because of Meshufa. So Rava or Rabba gave this teretz elsewhere, so we'll use that teretz over here. Where did Rabba or Rava give the teretz that a slanted wall is different? The Hecha Itmar de Rava or Rabba. Aha. It's on the following Mishnah. The Tnan. We learned in the Mishnah. Turn to the Amid Beis. Hayakorei by Sefer. Alhoi Skupa. The person's reading from a scroll. Their sefers were all scrolls, right? Gilas Esther was in a scroll. You can't put it into a book. It must be a scroll. All their svarim are scrolls. Okay, Rashi points out, top Rashi, called svarim shalem asuyim kimagila, right? In Yonah de Yoma, Shushan Purim. So all of their svarim, all their books were all scrolls. So I'm sitting on my askupa. My scoop is my porch, okay? It's Rashi says over here, it's an area that's considered significant. And the next Rashi, Perek Basra, Golo Etzel, two Rashis afterwards, he's holding it in his hand and it rolls away from him, right? You're holding on to Vahi, Bimei Achash V'Rosh, and the rest of it rolled away from you. Now, Uberek Basra de Erevin, the last Perek of Erevin, Mukim Lo Bieskupas Carmelis, Kigon Gavoa Gimel, V'Rachmo Dalit. The talking about the porch here is three tefachim above the ground, so it's not considered part of the ground. Right? That's the halach we just had, that within three talk above the ground, it's lavud, it's considered part of the ground. It's connected to the ground, so to say. And v'rach u'dalet, and it's at least four tvachim by four tvachim. So it's considered v'rishus, considered separate v'rishus. V'rishus harabim overes l'fonim. And it's right adjacent to the v'rishus harabim. I go out of my house into this askupa, and I'm sitting on the askupa. I'm rolling out the scroll, or it rolled out, and now I want to pull it back. And it's galgal asefer miyado. So go lo etzlo. You're allowed to. Why isn't it an issa d'rabbanon? We shouldn't let you go bring it back from the Rishus HaRabim into the Eskupa, because there's no potential for an issa d'raisa. So since there's no potential for an issa d'raisa over here, so the rabbi's word goes there over here, don't pull it back in. Because even if I were to drop it over there and it went from my hand all the way into the Rishus HaRabim, it would only be an issa d'rabbanon. From a carmelist into Rishus HaRabim, carrying is only an issa d'rabbanon. So the rabbi said, in order for us to not to denigrate the sefer, leave the sefer lying out there, I'm allowed to roll it back in, because I'm still holding it in the askupa, so therefore I can roll it back in, even though the other part is in the Rishus HaRabim. Because even if I let the whole thing go, it would only be an issa d'rabbanon, so the rabbi's word goes there, because of the chashivas of the sefer, they shouldn't leave it lying out there, so the rabbi said, you can roll it back. If I was reading it on my rooftop, I'm sitting on my roof, and it's gal gal sefer miyodo, and the sefer rolls out of my hand. So as long as it's more than 10 tvachim above the Rishus HaRabim, that it's above, right? I'm sitting in my Rishus Yochid roof, and it rolls off my roof. I'm holding on to one end; the other end is rolled off into now the airspace of the Rishus HaRabim. But guess what? The airspace of the Rishus HaRabim only goes up till 10 tvachim above the ground. Above 10 tvachim, it's called the Makom Ptur, a separate entity that has no carrying restrictions on it whatsoever. Even technically, maybe the rabbanon. So it rolled into the Makom Ptur over here, albeit it's the Makom Ptur above the Rishus HaRabim. No problem. Roll it right back. No, absolutely no problem. Go a little bit slow. However, Mishagil Yud Tvachim, if it reaches within the airspace of the Rishus HaRabim, it's now within 10 Tvachim of the Rishus HaRabim. This would be an Issa Derais if I dropped it. So therefore, Hufcho Al Haksav. Just turn it over so the Sefer is not being denigrated by being left out like that. Turn it over so it's, quote, covered up. Right? You don't leave a safer lying around open. You close the safer. If you come back to it a few minutes later, you open it up again. Otherwise, it's pasnish. It's not nice to leave a safer open and unattended. So turn the safer, this Megillah, turn it upside down, so to say, turn it around so the words aren't facing outwards. That's like it's covered up. Okay? Then we asked over the Avinabon, Amai Ho Chalaksav, why do you have to turn it over? Halo Noch, it hasn't rested. And therefore, it's dangling. So that's not considered landed. It hasn't had hanocha. So even though it's within the airspace, it's not munach. It's not a hanocha in the airspace, so you should be able to roll it back. And on that, Yom Rava, Oma Rabba, he said, Bikoso Meshupa Amor. It's talking about over here, Bikoso Meshupa. The word Amor is on the next part. We're talking here about a slanted roof. So it's like an awning over there. It's a roof that's slanted. So it rolled off this rolling roof, this slanted roof, not rolling roof, this slanted roof. It rolled down the slanted roof. It's resting on the slanted roof. So that's the teretz that Rabbah gave over here with the roof. That's the same teretz with the rain. It was on a slanted wall, not on the vertical part of the wall. It was on the slanted part of the wall, and therefore it's considered rested. So I says, really? Are these two cases comparable? Ema d'amarava b'sefer d'ovid d'nayich. The sefer is considered resting on the wall. It's rolled onto the wall, and it's resting on this slanted wall. Does the water collect? The water's going to keep on flowing. So how can you tell me that the water is considered stationary, that I be chayiv over here? Someone says, you're right. El omer rovo, kigon shekolat me'agabe guma. When the guy took the water, it didn't land on his hand like this. His hand wasn't standing outstretched in the rain, and the rain landed on it. That would be like the Balabayis putting it into his hand, and Hashem or the Balabayis are doing the Hanoch Akira, so to say, and therefore I wouldn't be chayiv. And it's not on a slanting wall because that water is still considered moving. If the water is considered moving, there's no ability to make an Akira or Hanoch on something that's moving. So you know what we're talking about? It's in a pit. There's a hole in the wall, and it landed in the hole in the wall, and I'm scooping it out from there. That's considered a real Akira. When it says Guma, Pshita. So then what's the Chiddush over here? You don't need to tell me every possible scenario of picking up something from Rishus HaYochid. This is, it's stationary. Of course it is. No, there is a chiddush with water. You know what I might have thought? Water's flowing. It's constantly browning in motion. Water's always moving about. You drop a dye into the water, it will disperse on its own, even in still water. Right? You drop a dye, and you can see it slowly dispersed. But the water's still. Because the water is constantly moving, even though you don't see that it's moving. Brownian motion, there's water moving about there. Albeit, if it's going to take a little bit of while to disperse throughout, but it will disperse throughout. Because the water is always moving. So when I scoop off the top water, the water is moving. Because it's on the bottom waters, and the water is moving. So you might have thought that that's true. that the top water is considered moving because of the bottom water that it's on. Kamash Mulam, that's not true. The water is considered one block. Even though the top water is really moving on the bottom water is really moving, so the top water is considered not stationary, and you might have thought that that's not a real Akira. Kamash Mulam, it is. How's the Rava Latayme? And Rava, again, Rabba, whoever it is, that goes Lishitoso. Where did he say this? The Amar Rava. Mayim Agab Mayim Hainu Hanochoson. Water on top of water, that's considered a hanocha. That's considered, it's all stationary. We don't consider the top water moving on the bottom water that's moving, and therefore it's not considered a akira or hanocha. That is considered stationary. As opposed to, egos al gabi mayim, if you have a walnut on top of water, and I pick it up from there, that's not considered a significant akira. Lav hainu hanocha. So that's not considered, if I put it down on water, I pick it up from water, the water's moving. It's not considered a valid akira or a valid hanocha if the thing is moving. So therefore, in this situation, it would not be considered a real akira or a hanocha. So the chiddush is, when you tell me it's in a guma, that water on water, ravo l'tamai, that's considered stationary. And therefore, I could do an akira hanocha from it, as opposed to a walnut on top of water would not be. While we ask this, while we're on the subject, we ask another question. Boy, ravo. Ravo asked, egos b'kli tzof al gabi mayim. I got a walnut on a plate, and the plate is floating in the water. So how do we view the walnut? If I pick up the walnut, okay, we're splitting hairs over here. Boss, our egos, as do we look at it from the point of view of the egos, the walnut? The walnut is stationary on a plate. The walnut's not moving in relation to the plate. You're standing on a boat. You're not moving, but the boat's moving. So how do we view you? Are you moving or are you stationary? And only the boat is considered moving. So do we say, boss, our egos, as you look at it from the point of view of the walnut, and the walnut is not moving in relation to the plate, it's standing still on the plate. Odilmo, or do we say, Basar Kli Azlinan, we look at the Kli is moving on the water. And Vahalo Nayich, deny it, because it's moving about. The plate is floating. The plate is moving. Over here now, over there a minute later. And therefore the walnut is also considered moving. That's the question. How do we view something that's standing stationary on a Kli, but the Kli is moving? So that's Teku. Again, no Teretz over here. No, we're trying to figure out and understand principles over here. We're trying to understand what is the principle. In order to do an akira and hanocha, it has to be from a stationary place that's significant. So we're trying to define how we view something as being a significant stationary place. So this is why it's giving us these splitting these hairs. It's going through very detailed demonstrations of how we get to the halacha, of what is the halacha. Similarly, shemen shetzof agavi yayin. This is a machlokes elsewhere in regards to other things, not only carrying. You have oil floating on top of wine. Are they considered one entity or two entities? Who cares? So, machlokes of Yochanan, Rav Nuri, Rav Banan, in regards to the following scenario. Ditnan, because there's a Mishnah over there in Erevin. Ditnan, shemen shetzof agavi yayin. If you have a water, oil floating on top of wine, v'nogat tful yom b'shemen. And the tful yom, who can be mitame something over here, only touches the oil. He sticks his finger into the oil, but he doesn't stick it all the way down, so he doesn't touch the wine. Wine and oil are two separate entities. They're not going to mix. They don't mix. So the oil is going to be on the top layer. The wine will be on the lower layer. So he just touched the oil. So the oil is tame. The tful yom was mitame the oil. But the tful yom is like a sheni. The oil is like a shlishi. Okay? So truma by a shlishi can become tame. But the oil now touching the wine, that would be a revi. And the wine won't become tame if it's truma. So the question is, when the tful yom touches the oil, is it considered touching only the oil, or the oil and the wine considered one entity? So that's the question. So one the yayin shemen shatzof agavi yayin v'nogat tful yom shemen lo posel al shemen buvad. The chachamim say only the oil; it's not considered two entities. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri omer shnei mechubar mezelazeh. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says they're one entity; they're considered together. Therefore, when you touch the oil, you're also metami the wine. Amar Rav Avin, Amar Eloi. Rabbin said, "Name Rabbi Loi. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Name Rabbi Yochanan. Hayatan ochlenu mashkin v'nichnas v'yotze kol hayom kulo." Now, the case that we're talking about over here, Rashi tells us about 5-6 lines out from where we are. Mashba shelo tanu l'kach el hayatan b'rishus hayochi kidei lo licho mizavis lizavis u'mishaaka raglov nimlach v'yotze v'nichnas kol hayom kulo. Guy picks up the apple, says, "I'm going to eat it." Takes it up from his kitchen, can eat it in the dining room. Then he says, "Wow, it's really hot in here. I think I'm going to go outside." But he made the pickup in the dining room. He did the Akira. He was planning to go from the kitchen into the dining room. Heter Gomer. So his Hakira was Heter Gomer. And now he goes outside. He goes inside. He goes outside. He goes inside. All day long he's moving. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Hayatan Ochlu Mashiv Nichlas Yosi Kol Yom Kulo, Einu Chayiv Ad Shiyamot. He's not Chayiv over here until he rests. He's not considered Chayiv over here until he rests. Rashi, Einu Chayiv Ad Shiyamot, the Achakach Yakar Atzmo, Lot says, and then he has to do an Akira. Until he rests, he didn't do a valid Akira. When he rests, that's the end of that action. He's only potter. You're not allowed to do that. Potter of a lawsuit. But he's not chayiv d'oraisa. Now, if he moves again, now he did a valid Akira, and if he goes in and out, or he carries Dal Amos and Shusarabim, now he'd be chayiv. But if he did the Akira beheter, when he picked it up on the inside, he wasn't planning to go outside. So therefore, that Akira was beheter. And therefore, he's not chayiv until he does, stops, and does a new Akira. That's Rav Yochanan's opinion. Eino chayiv ad shiyamot. Am Rabaye, v'usha amad lofush. And he has to have stopped to rest. Because if he doesn't stop to rest, it's not considered a stop. What does it mean he doesn't stop to rest? If he's adjusting, let's say it wasn't an apple, it was a package, and he just stops to adjust the package, that's not called stopping to rest. But if he stops to rest, that's called stopping. Mimai, where do we know that? Midom Amar. Toch Dalet Amos Amad Lofush. If you stop to rest in Dalet Amos. In other words, you didn't walk Dalet Amos and you stopped, potter. And then you carried another two Amos and you stopped, you're potter. Each time, as long as you stop, you're potter. You can go pachas pachas be Dalet Amos, you're technically not going to be chayim. But you have to stop, to rest. Lekosev, but if you're walking and you just stop to rearrange the package, that's not called stopping. And therefore, you'd be chayiv if you kept them walking the Dalet Amos carrying this item. Chutz l'Dalet Amos, Amad Lofush chayiv. Once you're already carrying, you carried more than Dalet Amos, you're only chayiv the deraisa when you stop. So it's stopping is lofush. You have to stop to rest. L'kasev, potter. But if you just stop to adjust, that's not called stopping. It works both ways. It works to make you chayiv, it works to make you potter. Resting means stopping, and just adjusting isn't considered stopping. My kamashwan. So what's the chiddush of Rav Yochanan? Shloi sakira mishar rishonu lekach. So Rav Yochanan's chiddush is that that's not called an akira. If you picked up the apple in the kitchen to go into the dining room, that's not called an akira. You're allowed to do that. And now, once you're carrying it already, you decide to go outside. You never did an akira in the shusar yochid, and therefore midoraisa, you wouldn't be chayiv if you carried it outside, even though you stop outside. That's not called an Akira and a Hanocha. That's just called a Hanocha. It's part of Rabbal Aser, but it's not over Nisa Deraisa. Yitz Hashem, we'll pick up over here tomorrow, and we'll discuss that Rabbi Yochanan taught us this already. Why is he telling it to us twice? And we'll keep on going.